It's a blessing to be here this morning, and it's good to see each one of you out. We're going to continue our series. Now, we're nearing the end of our series, Faith for the Journey, from Hebrews chapter 11. We have a few more messages concerning this topic. And so this morning, we're going to continue on. We'll be in Hebrews 11 just to read a little bit of our text, and then we'll be going to the Old Testament in the book of Esther, if you want to make your way back there this morning. But I'd like to begin with a question. How many of you enjoy looking at old photographs? Maybe you pull out the box and you start to go through them. Now, for some of our younger people here this morning, maybe you get on the computer and start to go through them. I know some of you don't even know what an old box of photographs are. Everything's on the computer or on your phone scrolling through them. But either way, I enjoy looking at old photographs. You know, they bring back memories. Sometimes you look at one image and as soon as you see it, something will pop into your mind. Maybe a memory of that event. Maybe a memory of that person or something that occurred. And looking at old photographs, a lot of times you don't have to go into detail or say anything outside of what the picture pretty much proclaims. Now, Hebrews chapter 11, at least to the point where we are this morning, is real similar to that. I believe the Hebrews, the people that this book was written to, knew the Old Testament. They had read it. They had probably studied it. Many of them had probably grown up, in their school and in their synagogues being taught the Old Testament, memorizing passages. Many would memorize whole books of the Old Testament. And so by the time we get to the end of Hebrews chapter 11, we no longer have people being listed as much as we have just events given to us. And we'll be looking this morning, Hebrews chapter 11. Notice what it says in verse 33. It says, "Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stop the mouths of lions." Now I'm going to stop there because here's what I want you to notice. Basically what was happening is he no longer continued to develop each one of these cases. He just began to throw them out one at a time. People by faith, because they had faith in God, they were able to accomplish these great deeds. And I could just see some of those people, some of those Hebrews, when they received this letter, maybe they read it out loud in church, maybe some of them sat down and read it privately. I could just see them as they're going through this, that all of a sudden these images began to pop up in their mind. Now, of course, they didn't have pictures, and of course, they didn't live to see these events take place, but I imagine they knew what he was referring to or had an idea of what he was talking about. You know, last week we talked about the verse 34 says, "Where it quenched the violence of fire." We talked about the three young men in the fire in Babylon. And then you get, in verse 34, he says, "Quench the violence of fire," and then it gets to, "escaped the edge of the sword." This morning, that's what we're going to talk about, escaping the edge of the sword. I think if you go back and look at the Old Testament, you will find that there were many, many that by faith not only trusted God, but were able to overcome not only difficulties, but basically overcome being put to death or facing death because of their faith in God. And this morning, we're going to look at one example. I'm just going to pick out one because I believe there are several. We're going to pick out one example, and I hope and pray to encourage you with their faith. Now, this morning, you may not be facing the identical problem that they were facing, but you know, all of us have issues we deal with that we must live by faith and trust in the Lord. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we're going to get into this. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for blessing us. Please help us to not only see your word and to hear it, but help us to, Lord, to be sensitive to your word. Holy Spirit, I pray you work in our hearts this morning. I pray today that you'll provide whatever teaching is necessary for each one of us. Lord, if you need a challenge, I pray that you challenge our hearts. If we need comfort, please comfort our hearts this morning. I know you're able to provide our needs, and Lord, I pray you do so in this message. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you make your way back with me to the book of Esther chapter 4, Esther chapter 4, the title of this message this morning is Faith When Defeated. Faith When Defeated. You know, defeat is part of life. It's not the enjoyable part of life, but it is part of life. You know, there are some, I don't know who you are, I think I know some of you. There are some who will not play a game if you don't think you're going to win. You hate losing that much. And I know some people are like that. They just despise losing, despise defeat. You know, part of the problem of living in a world of sin is there are going to be times where we are defeated or we are discouraged. And as we'll see this morning, I believe if we look to God and we live by faith, that we will be able to overcome those times and be able to continue on with God's strength. So I encourage you to pay attention. No matter how old you are here this morning, young or old, no matter what career you have, I really believe that there will be some practical lessons for you here from this passage. We're going to look at Mordecai and Esther, two Jewish people who were facing death. Mordecai and Esther. Beginning Esther chapter 4, verse 1, it says, when Mordecai perceived all that was done, it says, Mordecai rent his clothes, put on sackcloth with ashes, went out into the midst of the city, and cried with a loud and bitter voice. Notice this was a bitter cry. He was heartbroken. Verse 2, and came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting, and weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. I'm going to stop here because I want to give you just a quick, quick background to what's happening so we know what is taking place, so we don't take anything out of context and we see what's happening in our passage. What basically we find, the first three chapters of the book of Esther, we find Esther being a young Jewess, a woman who loved the Lord, finding an opportunity, really, to become the queen of Persia. Bible tells us that occurred, that took place, and she became queen. Well, the years went by, and lo and behold, a man by the name of Haman entered on the scene. Bible tells us he was a wicked man. And basically, this man demanded Mordecai, we've already read a little bit about Mordecai, demanded Mordecai to bow down before him. Mordecai refused, the Bible tells us. He wouldn't bow down before any man. I tell you what, I thank God I'm an American. Don't you? Thank God for our freedoms, and we don't bow down to anybody. I'm not saying we don't respect people. We respect people. We respect positions and titles. But we don't bow down to people. Well, anyway, Mordecai would not bow down to this man, Haman. And Haman became infuriated, the Bible tells us, to the point where he not only wanted to seek revenge on Mordecai, but on Mordecai's people, the Jewish people. And so that's what he did. He began to plot and to scheme, and he won over the king. And basically, a decree went out from the king that the Jewish people would be put to death. Now, unbeknownst to Haman and the king himself, Esther was a Jewish woman. She was a Jew. And they didn't know that. So because of this decree, she was also going to face death. And that's basically where we pick this up. Now, let's go back to Esther chapter 4. It says in verse 4, so Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told her, then was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai and to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not. Then called Esther for Hatach, one of the king's chamberlains, whom he had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. So Hatach went forth to Mordecai under the street of the city, which was before the king's gate. And Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him, and of the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. Also he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king, to make supplication unto him, and to make request before him for her people. And Hatach came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Now, from this point on, this is going to be our text here this morning, beginning verse 10. And again, Esther spake unto Hatach and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. Then she goes on to say, but I have not been called to come unto the king these 30 days. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. I'm going to give you three thoughts this morning. And here's my first thought. I want you to notice Esther's fear. Esther's fear. Now Esther, like anyone else, I imagine, enjoyed life. I enjoy life. I thank the Lord for life. I thank the Lord for my family and friends, for this church. And I think most people enjoy life. I think she enjoyed life. And the Bible tells us that first, Esther recognized her situation. You know, she pointed out there that only those called by the king were allowed to enter into the inner court. Now, I want to point something out to you. That's the inner court. She's not referring to the palace or the throne room. Just the inner court where the king would sometimes sit to accept people and to hear people and to have conversation. If you were not invited, you could not just show up. That's just the way it was. The Persian kings separated themselves from everybody else. I read where one historian said they basically made themselves little gods before the people. Separated themselves, and they would require that anyone that would come to them had to come by invitation. They had to be invited to go before the king. Now, those that went in uninvited, they risked their lives. It was a risk to go before the king, because as Esther pointed out, there was a law where the king was basically given the opportunity or had the choice where he could put them to death immediately if they came uninvited. Or he could be merciful, hold out his scepter, and they would be forgiven and perhaps allowed to speak or allowed to talk to the king. Now, she knew that was the risk. If she went in uninvited and the king was upset or had a bad day or just was angry, he could have her put to death. Now, she had a good reason to fear. I don't know about you, but I'd be afraid. I don't know if I would just charge in and say, well, I'll take care of that. I'm sure you may slow down a little bit and think, well, let's think this through. And basically, that's what happened here. On top of this, notice what Esther said. Let's look at our passage at the end of verse 11. She says, I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. So Esther tells Mordecai, on top of this, guess what? It's been a month since he has invited me in. Now, this was his wife. Now, we know the Persian kings, like many kings, practiced polygamy. And he probably had other wives or concubines. Now, that's against the teachings of God's Scripture, but many did that. And she makes it clear that she had not seen him for 30 days, had not been invited. She didn't give a reason. Evidently, she probably didn't have a reason. Have you ever had that happen in your life where something happened, you didn't know why? You wanted a reason, but you weren't given a reason? You know, it happens at work sometimes. You'll be told to do something, or you may even get laid off. People get laid off, and they don't give a reason. It's just, well, that's just the way it is. You got to deal with it. She evidently didn't have a reason. She didn't know why. She just hadn't been called in for 30 days. You know, in her mind, she may have thought, you know what, he may be upset with me about something. I tell you, if she thought he was upset, there's no way she probably wanted to go in uninvited. So here she says, for 30 days, I haven't been there. Now, when you're disappointed, and that's what she probably was a little bit for this, I don't know about you, but I'd be disappointed if the person that said they loved me wouldn't see me for 30 days, wouldn't talk to me for 30 days. You see, she was probably disappointed. And when disappointment happens, you know, if we're not careful, that can lead to discouragement. And it can. We can become distraught and upset, begin to worry and to fret because we've been disappointed. I was reading about Thomas Edison a while back. He was the great inventor. And there's a story about him. You know, they said, many who knew him said that he had two, I guess you say, things that were unknown to him or that wasn't part of his character. One of them was discouragement, and they said the other one was worry. And I want to give you a story I read that I thought was kind of interesting. They said one day an associate who was working with him had to report to Thomas Edison that rapidly, I mean quickly, three of their projects they were working on failed. And all three of these projects had not only costed them a lot of money, there were a lot of investments put into those, but a lot of time and a lot of work. And so he went to Thomas Edison to tell him, hey, they have all failed rapidly, success, you know, at the same time, real close as far as proximity. And the story says that he went to him, and of course he had been worn out. He had been frazzled because of all the work he'd put in. He went to Thomas Edison and told him, and Thomas Edison was doing some work there. And the associate said Thomas Edison just looked at him and smiled and said, okay, and continued to work. Well, the associate was flustered. And impatiently he looked, he says, Mr. Edison, why don't you worry just a little bit about this? And they said, Mr. Edison looked up and took off his glasses and he smiled. He said, well, I think you're worrying enough for both of us. And he continued to work. You see, this morning I want you to think on something. If an issue or something is out of our control, then I think there's no need to worry about it. If we can't do anything about it, and I mean anything. I mean, now, I believe if there's something you can do, you should do it. I believe the Bible teaches us to be active. But, you know, there are going to be times in your life where you can do nothing about it. It's out of your hands. And when that occurs, trust in the Lord. You know, in 1 Peter it says, cast all our cares upon Him, for He careth for us. That's when we take our cares to God and give them to Him and say, God, I can't do nothing about this anyway. I'm going to live by faith and trust in You. And that's what Esther was called upon to do. Now, Mordecai, I think, understood he was asking her to risk her life. And you know what Esther basically said? She said no. She wasn't going to do it. And that's what we find in this passage here. We find that she refused to risk her life and refused to go into the king. She was just not going to do it. And in verse 12 it says, and they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Now, she didn't flat out say no, but that's what she was implying. She hadn't been to the king, so she wasn't going to go to the king. You know, this morning, I think probably the main reason why she didn't go was fear. She was afraid of what would happen or what could happen when she went to the king uninvited. You know, Esther probably enjoyed her life. And I'm sure for that time period, it was a comfortable life. What I mean by that is, why should she lose her life if she didn't have to? And that she may have thought that. Or why should she place herself in danger if there was no need to? Maybe she thought, why should I make things harder than necessary? Everything's all right now. I'm comfortable. Everything's convenient. Why should I do that? So basically, I think she excused herself from this responsibility. She sent the letter back to Mordecai, put that in there, and basically excused herself that she couldn't go before the king. You know, I think Esther looked at what she was able to do and concluded, well, guess what? It's not enough, so I'm not going to do it. What we have here is, at the moment, she's walking by sight, not by faith. And that happens. You know, if we're not careful, we can walk by sight. And basically, we can make our decisions based on our situations. And come to the conclusion, well, guess what? I can't do this in my own power and strength. Or I don't see how this is going to work out. So I'll just continue on and go do this. Or I'll continue on and go do that. You see, we fail to live by faith, trusting in the Lord. You know, Esther looked at her situation and she allowed it to determine her actions instead of putting her faith in God. This morning, I want to challenge you, the practical to this point right here, challenge you to live by faith. You know, if you begin to look around you, if you look at the situation around you, this morning, I don't know your personal life as far as what's going on, but I guarantee if you look long enough at your problems, if whatever problems are in your life, then you will lose faith. You will become discouraged. You will struggle to walk with God because those problems will appear so big before you. And that's what happened here with Esther. I mean, she understood the situation. She knew the king. She knew what would happen. Nowhere do we read that she considered God or she prayed to God or said, I'm going to walk by faith. Instead, she continued to live by sight. Now, that leads us into our second thought. You know what Mordecai does? He challenges her with the future. Esther chapter 4, verse 12. And they told him Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in thy king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then, he says, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Now this morning, notice what Mordecai did. Now I read this and I think, man, this is a wise answer. And I'll be honest, I don't know if I'd have answered like this. I probably would have tried to tell her what to do. You need to get in there and get serious and don't be afraid. But you notice what he did? He didn't do any of that. He didn't tell her what to do. Basically, he challenged her to consider the situation. That's what he did. He sent back a message that would challenge her heart, that would open her eyes up to the situation. You know, if her eyes weren't open up to the situation, he could fuss and complain and challenge her all he wanted to, but she was just going to remain where she was. She needed to see the situation and understand what could occur or what might occur. And that's what he did. You know, two thoughts on this, inside this point here. First is, he pointed out the future. The future that might happen if she continued to live by sight instead of by faith. If she continued to be directed by her fears. Notice what he says in chapter 4, verse 13. He says, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. You know what Mordecai basically said to Esther? He said, guess what? You know, nobody might know your ancestry now. But it's bound to come out at some point. You are a Jewish woman. You are part of this decree. If you fail to take a stand, if you remain where you are, then guess what? You yourself will be part of this problem. Whether you like it or not, you'll also be put to death. And that's basically what he pointed out to her. You see, she may have been afraid to go before the king at the moment, but if she refused, at some point it would come out and she would have to deal with it. You know, if she would remain silent, the problem would still continue to be there. You know, refusing to do something does not solve the problem. I've been guilty of that. I don't know about any of you. But there have been problems that have come up that I thought, well, I don't want to deal with that right now. I guess halfway hoping they'll be gone. And turn around and it's still there the next day, and sometimes it's even a bigger problem that I got to deal with. You know, refusing to address a problem doesn't mean the problem will go away. And that's what Mordecai's basically challenging Esther to think about. Just because you ignore it, just because you're safe right now, doesn't mean that problem is real. You need to think about your future. Think about the situation if you're going to live by sight. In other words, that discouragement's going to catch up with you. Secondly, notice what he says about the future if she chose to live by faith. Verse 14, "For if all altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place." Now, I'm going to talk about that part here in a minute. He says, "But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed." He says, "Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Now, I thought about this passage here for a minute. Basically, you know what Mordecai says? He doesn't pretend to know God's will. And you know, as a pastor, I got to be careful of that myself. It's easy to pretend to know God's will and think, well, God demands this and God's will. You know, the only time we can say that God's will is certain is when we look at the scriptures and God says so. After that, then you know what? We will not know God's will more than likely until we look back and see how God worked things out. You see, he didn't pretend to know what God was going to do. He didn't pretend that Esther, everything would work out. He wasn't giving her some false hope. Basically, he said to her, perhaps, maybe, God has put you here for this reason. You know, Esther, you have been so caught up in your own personal life. You've enjoyed the blessings that come with being queen. You enjoyed the convenience and all that you have received from this blessing. Maybe you didn't receive it for yourself, but so you could be used by God to deliver God's people. And that's what he wanted to point out to her. You know what he did? I think he first, really when you think about it was a little bit of humility for her. Yes, she was the queen, but maybe God put her there so God could work through her. Secondly, he wanted to open her eyes up to the big picture. You know, when we get discouraged, usually, not always, but when people get discouraged, it's because they are focusing on their problems and they fail to see the big picture. Think about the big picture for a minute this morning. Now, think about Esther's big picture. She was queen of Persia. Yes, there was a problem, but guess what? God was in control. God was in charge. God had a plan. God had already given his people promises in the Old Testament that he would protect them, he would preserve them, he would keep them, that there would be a Messiah, Jesus Christ, to come. And so the big picture was God's people were not going to be wiped out. God had already determined that. And Esther needed to be reminded that God was working. You know, this morning, if you are discouraged, I hope and pray you're not, but if you find yourself discouraged this morning or disappointed, don't lose sight of the big picture. That there is not only a God in heaven, but he is in control. He's got not only a plan for this universe, but a personal plan for your life. And then he'll guide and direct you. Look to him and trust in him. That's what Esther was challenged to do here as far as her faith. You see, another thought here as far as Esther's faith too was she had to live by faith. In other words, she had to trust that God would work through her life. She had to trust that God would protect her if she went before that king. She had to trust that God would provide for her and her people if she would decide to live by faith. You see, basically, she had to trust the Lord. You know, this morning, I think we can make this, I guess, applicable to us this morning. We also must live by faith. You know, Hebrews chapter 10, at the beginning of the year when we kicked off this series, we had a message on the just shall live by faith. You know, after we're saved by grace and through faith, we must continue to live by faith, trusting in the Lord, looking to God, relying upon his strength and his power. But you think about it, it begins with faith for salvation. That's where it begins with. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. You think about this morning, salvation is not something we can merit. It's not something we can earn. It's not something we can achieve. It's something that has been given to us through Jesus, from God through Jesus Christ. So if you're saved here this morning, you're saved by grace and through faith. If you're not, that is the way of salvation. It's through Jesus Christ. It's not through your abilities or your, I guess you say, your intellect or anything else. But it's in your faith in Jesus Christ. Afterwards, we must live by faith. And I believe once we begin to live by faith, then yes, we'll be able to not only overcome, you know, today we're talking about defeat and discouragement, but also other problems in our life. And some will say, Pastor, is it that simple? I really believe it is. I think if we're not careful, we can muddy the waters and make it difficult for Christians to live. The Bible makes it very clear. Once you're saved, guess what? The Holy Spirit dwells within you. And the Holy Spirit will begin to produce fruit. Galatians 5 talks about that. The fruit of the Spirit will begin to produce the fruit in your life. That's why we're told throughout the New Testament to yield unto God. To allow Him to work in our life. To not quench the Spirit, but to allow the Spirit to work, because that's the power that God has for us. The Holy Spirit working in our life, producing the fruit that He would have for us. And see, when He begins to work, I guarantee you, when He begins to work, then He'll begin to make the changes that He wants in your life. Not the changes that you may want or that someone else may want for you, but the changes that God may want if He wants to change your life. He'll begin to work in your life to guide and to direct, and then your life will be a life of walking with God. You see, this morning, it's really a matter of faith. And Esther had to live by faith. You know, I want to point out before we get to our third thought, Mordecai had faith. He really did. You look at this passage. He believed God would deliver them, without a doubt. That's why he's bringing this challenge to Esther. Also, if you notice, and I said we'd come back to this, I want to point something out. In verse 14, he says there, for if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. You know what Mordecai said to Esther? He said, Esther, guess what? You want to become stubborn? You want to continue in fear and you refuse to allow God to work through you? You're not going to stop God's work. God will deliver His people. He'll raise someone else up to do the work. You see, what Mordecai reminded Esther of is that God did not require her, but He would work through her if she was willing. In other words, she needed Him, and He did not need her. Now that's humbling when you stop to think about it, but that's the truth. This morning, God is the same. You know, God doesn't need any of us. He doesn't require any of our abilities. He doesn't require any of our finances. God will work through us if we yield our life to Him. Now we need Him. Without a doubt, we need Him for salvation. We need Him for living spiritually here on earth and doing His work. But God does not need us. And that's what Esther really was reminded of, that God will work. God will provide. Now, Mordecai had faith. I believe that it probably went back to the promises that God had already given His people. The promise of the land, the promise of prosperity, the promise of the Messiah. None of those had been fulfilled. And I imagine Mordecai knew that God would keep His word. What's that in Romans 10? Faith cometh by hearing, and faith cometh by the word of God. You see, when God gives His word, we can rely upon it and trust it. And that's what Mordecai did. Now here's my final thought this morning. Esther's fortitude. Her faith led to fortitude. She had no faith to begin with. Or she struggled with it. I don't want to say had no faith. Struggled with faith. And then Mordecai challenged her faith. And then we see that her faith produced fortitude. She was going to take a stand. Verse 15 of Esther chapter 4, it says there, then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me. Neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Now that's why I believe, at least she's one example that it's referring to in Hebrews chapter 11 of faith. Notice what she did. The Bible says after she was challenged, she displayed her faith. She did. I mean, she sent a message back to Mordecai. She said, all right, hustle up. Get everyone together and begin praying because I'm going to go before the king. I'm going to go, and if I perish, I perish. If God wants to call me home, then so be it. That's God's choice. And she was challenging Mordecai to pray and to seek God on her behalf. And she would do the same. She said that she would gather her handmaidens. And you know what we find here? There in Shushan, there in the Old Testament, we have a prayer meeting. Mordecai's gathering all the people and they're praying. And then we have Esther doing the same thing up there in the palace. And they're praying that God would provide and that God would bless. And Esther understood that she needed God's power. I tell you, she was humbled. And she understood that she needed God's power so that she could go and do what God wanted her to do. You know, this morning, we kind of talked about it a little bit already, but without God, we are powerless. I do believe we need God's power for salvation. We can't save ourselves. There's the problem of sin. You see, that's the problem. Sin. What do we do about sin? And this morning, I ask you, have your sins been forgiven? If not, then you're still carrying them. They're still there. And God, according to the Bible, is going to hold you accountable. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know in Romans chapter 6 that sin, well, let's turn there. I don't want to misquote this here. I'm stumbling through this. Romans chapter 6. Let me get the tongue cleared up here. Romans chapter 6, and we're going to look at verse 23. It says, therefore, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now think about that. The wages of sin is death. Because we've sinned, we've earned death. But then it continues on, the gift of God is eternal life. See, that's referring to the salvation that God has provided for those that seek His forgiveness through Jesus Christ. You know, the power to be saved comes from God. It's not from ourself. We can't save ourselves because we have sin. We have a sinful nature, but we also have sinful conduct and actions. And because of that sin in our life, we need to be forgiven, and God has addressed that with His Son, Jesus Christ. And you know, this morning, I imagine you're aware of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, but I'll just give you this here to take with you. He paid the price on that cross. You know, never forget your sins have been paid for. My sins have been paid for. You see, it's not a situation where God has said, I'm going to just ignore your sin and let it go. Jesus Christ paid the price. He purchased us on the cross. So if you're saved here this morning, you're saved because the price has been paid. You see, when you get to heaven, it's not going to be one of those where, I'm not sure you make it in. You know, there's still that sin in your life. You're forgiven. The price has been paid. That's the atonement that took place on the cross. Now, if you're not saved here this morning, I challenge you to examine your heart. Salvation is simple, trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Well, anyway, Esther, let's get back to our passage here. Esther required God's power, no different than any of us who require God's power not only to be saved, but also to live for God. And finally, she determined to live by faith. And she determined to embark on this incredible task to go before this king of Persia, who knows, she hadn't seen him in 30 days, she hadn't been invited, and to go before him, trusting that God would provide and that God would protect. Now, Esther prepared herself. You know how she prepared herself? By submitting to God's will. That's what she did first. She submitted to God. Secondly, she prayed that God would bless. You know, this morning, it doesn't matter what problem that we're dealing with. Those two, I guess you say, decisions that she made are required of us as well. Submit to God's will. And then pray and seek God's strength. You know what Esther found? She found that the Lord was faithful. We're not going to read the passage, but you continue reading that next chapter. If you get a chance, and you'll find that she went before the king, and that the king saw her, was reminded of his love for her, and was merciful unto her, and allowed her to speak. And of course, the Bible tells us that everything played out and that the people were rescued. But you know, this morning, she went. Faith produced action. You know, she didn't remain in that room and say, well, I just hope for the best. I believe God now. I'll just hope for the best. It produced some action. She went before the king. You know, that's what James is talking about in James chapter 2:18, where he says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. And James says this, I will show thee my faith by my works. You see, that's faith. Faith that produces action. There's a story about a young girl who was distressed when she found out her brothers had made a trap to catch birds. Now, some of you may have grown up with brothers like that. She was distressed because she knew her brothers. Well, she went to church that Sunday, and she was telling her teacher about it. And her teacher said, well, what did you do? She said, well, I prayed to God. I prayed that the traps would not catch the birds. And her teacher smiled and said, well, that's good. Is that it? And she said, no. She said, I also prayed that God would prevent the birds from going into the traps. And the teacher smiled and said, oh, that's nice. And he kind of figured it ended there. And she looked and she goes, and you know what I did next? And he said, what? She said, I went out and I kicked the traps all to pieces. Now some would say, well, that's no faith. Maybe that's faith that produced some action. She went out and did what she could. You see, the Bible tells us that Esther did what she could. She had faith in God, and she went and did what she could, and she trusted the results to the Lord. You know what she said? If I perish, I perish. She trusted God with the results. You know, this morning, that's what faith is. Faith is trusting God with the results. Faith is going and doing what we're able to do and then trusting that God will take care of the rest. You know, maybe you're going for a job interview. Maybe you're looking for a job. Faith is going to those interviews, preparing yourself, being ready, and then maybe going to one, two, three, four, a dozen of them, and then trusting that God will open up the door and provide the job He wants for you. See, that's faith. Faith is going and trusting, living by faith, not just sitting there doing nothing, but living by faith. And that's what Esther did. Her faith was active as she looked to the Lord. You know, in closing this morning, Mordecai and Esther faced, I would say, an impossible task. They really did. And of course, we just touched the surface with this message. That's what it was for, to see the faith. But their task really was impossible. They encouraged each other. That's what they did first. They encouraged each other. Secondly, they looked to the Lord. You know, instead of trusting in other sources or in their own abilities, they looked to their Lord and hoped and prayed that He would bless. And then the Bible tells us they went by faith. Mordecai went and prayed. Esther went before the king. And instead of living by sight, they lived by faith. The Bible says that God blessed. You know, this morning, I don't believe this lesson really teaches that God will necessarily remove all of our hardships or troubles. You know, there may be some where He'll say, no, I want you to go through them, but I'll provide the strength for you. What we find here, though, is living by faith when defeated. Living by faith when defeated. You know, when everything seems to be against you, when nothing seems to be going your way, don't become discouraged. Remember that God often works when everything appears to be hopeless. You know, when you read the miracles of Jesus Christ, that's when He often performed His miracles. When people ran out of resources and everything else, and they looked to God and He provided a miracle. You see, God will often work when there appears to be no other way. And so don't lose faith. Trust God. Walk by faith. Live by faith. And I hope and pray you'll be encouraged in the Lord. Dear Lord, we thank You for this day. Thank You for the passage we've seen of Esther, Lord. I pray that it'll remind us of the importance of looking to You in our difficulties and trusting You to guide and direct us through. I pray during this invitation that if You've worked in anyone's heart here this morning, that they'll seek You in prayer. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have a short time of invitation. I ask you to, you can remain seated. If you want to close your eyes for a few minutes, the piano is going to begin to play. This is just an opportunity for you to seek God out in prayer if He's worked in your heart. The altars are open. You can come pray here, or you can pray right where you are. I just encourage you, if God has worked in your heart in any way this morning, and it may not even be the message, there may be something else in your life, this is just an opportunity for you to seek the Lord out. Perhaps there's one here who has questions concerning salvation. If that's the case, I encourage you to come down. Someone can take the Bible and be able to show you what the Bible says about salvation, so that way you can know what salvation is. Thank you. right, well, we're going to close with a word of prayer. I want to thank you for coming out and hope you have a good afternoon and a good week this week. It's good to see